High school. We want to talk about your high school.
From Horseman, I moved to Central High. I went there because they had a good wrestling coach down there, believe it or not. And I wanted to pick up on that. Dad did. He was influential on that. But I only stayed at Central, I think, about 3 months. The war was on. I wanted to get in and get out. Dad wanted to be as well-trained as possible because he didn't want his only son to be a cannon fodder, is what he referred to. So I went to Oklahoma Military Academy. We went 46 months straight. We didn't take breaks for Christmas or any holiday because they wanted to get you in and out. So I picked up a couple years of schooling by going year-round up there at Oklahoma Military Academy. Oklahoma Military Academy was very good for me. Later on, when I went into the airborne, I had my commission. I was a four-year ROTC graduate, and so they said our training was better than anybody's, and it was noted as a school of the Southwest.
So when you came out virtually of high school, but the military academy, I think you graduated in 1941?
Well, I was a class of 45 at Oklahoma Military Academy.
Oh, okay.
And I had good contacts there. That's where I ran with the Pryor boys. There's Frank and Junior. His father lived in Sophia Plaza, which is still there. The suite is still there. It's the southwest corner suite. Mr. Pryor was president of Stanlin here, which was the largest here. Then he got tapped for going to become president of Standard of Indiana. The situation had been set up where the Pryor boys would graduate and get into the oil business. Neither one of them wanted to do that. We were having Sunday lunches together as training. He says, "Morg, you stay with me," I mean, train under him.
In the insurance business.
Mm-hmm. Take the insurance business and not try to go into the oil business at that time. Meld the two together. And he would make sure that I made more money in 2 years than I would have made in the oil business. So that was set up for them. So I was a recipient of it. He liked me well enough to stay. He thought I knew all about the insurance business and oil insurance. He was a Stanford graduate. They made him president of Standard of Indiana. I think that was the largest of those companies when they broke up the 13 Standard companies.
But I want to bring you back to when you graduated. The war was on from 1939 to 1945.
Mm-hmm.
You were 15, 16, 17 years old in that period.
Right.
But then you finished high school or the military academy. You finished in 1945.
45.
The war was ending then.
It was ending. But I was put into it. From my 4 years ROTC, it put me far enough ahead that I got directly into that. And I had you got commissions at OMA, either in the cavalry or tanks. I decided I didn't want to be in what happens inside of a tank when they're in battlefield, so I was smart enough not to pursue that. I wanted to get into the airborne, which was just a beautiful move on my part. I was in the honor guard because from OMA you knew how to dress well and look the part, and you didn't know what you were talking about. We had West Point officers teaching us. So I went to the airborne.
What division were you attached to?
82nd Airborne, the honor guard. I was in charge of a squadron at the 82nd Airborne. Harry Truman was the president, and he was very proud. He was not a military man himself, but he loved to see us parade, and he sent us really all over the world. He wanted to show off. We were all the same size, same height. We went through jump school at Fort Benning, Georgia. In fact, I was in charge of a sea stage down there, which were towers, 250-foot towers, that they'd gotten from the World's Fair in 33 or something like that. We got to train and practice off of those. I love that.
How many jumps did you make?
I made 26.
Hmm. Were you ever injured?
Yes, the second jump I made, we were jumping out of planes that were not really designed to jump out of. A C-46 Douglas had bad prop blast. If you got it just wrong stepping out of the plane, it threw you into what we call a cigarette roll. The chute could wrap around you, so you'd lose a lot of lift. We were only 1,000 feet high because they wanted to get you down on the ground in a hurry because the Germans would get you. That was their favorite. They used their 88s that they would pick out the soldiers. I'd never got into any of that bad part. I just had all the honor and knew how to dress. President Truman loved to show us.
Did you see him?
Oh, yes.
He'd come around and...
Oh, yes. He knew me by first name.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Would you talk to him?
Yes. Yeah.
How did he get to know you by first name?
He was just that interested in our squadron, which was the 82nd Airborne.
Right. So he could leave and come back again and say hi, David, to you.
Yeah.
Remember your name.
Yeah. That didn't impress me at the time.
No, but that was pretty good. You referred earlier to being sharp-dressed. He was a sharp-dresser, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had been in Haberdasher. Is that what they used to call
him? That's a clothing store, Haberdashery, right.
Yeah. He did like us, and we did like him because he exposed us to beautiful places at all times. He didn't have the presence that we had. We were sharp, and he was still a haberdasher.
But he was president.
But he was a president, and he liked us. And we liked him. There was even some civil disobedience over here that he put us into to get straightened out. Kind of like troubles we're having today. They were having some troubles in Boston. These young kids would come off these ships, and the hooligans, whatever they called them back then, would pick on them, and they told us to go in there and kind of police it and take care of things.
But you weren't parachuting in at that time.
No.
Didn't have to. But anyway, he used you that way.
Yeah, the only jump in here is he wanted to see a jump in the soldiers' field. Well, our chutes, you couldn't control them like you can today. I mean, different shapes and so forth like that. And it did not work out. Somebody got into the spans. It was kind of a bad deal. And I had from that cigarette roll, I hit the ground. We were jumping, losing 26 seconds descent. Mm. So we were coming in hot, and it broke 12 bones in my right foot, an ankle. Limped off of that, got out of there in a hurry because somebody was coming in behind you. The powers that be said, okay, if you're injured and can't continue training, we did everything at a double time. Fort Benning, there was no walking whatsoever. Everything was, and your officer or sergeant, you'd say, give me 100. That meant 100 push-ups. Mm. They didn't like the way you had your hat on or something like that. So we were the hotsy-totsies, and we enjoyed the stature that we had. But that ankle, so they said, well, you can drop back to Company F and start over. And there was no way anybody would go back through training if they could get out of it. They took my jump boots. The boots were made in Corcoran, Massachusetts. I think they're still using them. I've got a brand new set in the back of my car.
You never know, do you?
No, you never know what you're going to jump out of. And they just cut it down the center and taped it and strapped it and made it a walking cast. And then you had to run to keep up with the rest of it. So I did finish jump school, which was 6 jumps, including a night jump, Fort Benning, Georgia jump.
So you were, 2 years in with that? And then you come out of the service.
Yes.
And we've talked about then how you got into the insurance business. That was after the military.
That's right.
All right. So then